Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, January 6th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Wyoming lawmakers resumed hearings on the state budget yesterday. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports agency leaders at the Department of Transportation talked about raising employee wages.
The agency that manages Wyoming's sometimes icy roads is dealing with some challenges. There's issues with recruiting and retaining staff, rising inflation costs for highway construction, and the need for new equipment. And then there's a $400 million revenue shortfall. In response to that deficit, lawmakers drafted a bill to raise the fuel tax, which has held steady since 2013. But they ended up voting it down in October. Senator Tim Salazar from Riverton asked the director of YDOT what ideas he had for combating staff burnout, besides raising employee wages. And Representative Ken Pendergraft of Sheridan mentioned the agency's ask for more money to improve GPS systems. Pendergraft talked about a deadly pileup and fire at the Green River Tunnel early last year. During that incident, YDOT employees had to rely on inadequate GPS equipment, according to the director. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
Electricity will cost more in Teton County next month following an unexpected rate increase. Lower Valley Energy's board of directors decided the increase was unavoidable, according to a press release. The co-op says the 2% rate hike responds to an unanticipated surcharge and decreased revenue from two of its energy providers. In October, the co-op announced a near 8% increase. That means rates are now about 10% more than they were this time last year. Lower Valley members are still set to pay less than half the nationwide average per kilowatt hour for its relatively cheap, mostly hydroelectric power. Wyomingites pay about 15 cents per kilowatt hour. That's on par with the average of surrounding Mountain West states. Despite a slow start to winter in most of the state, people are finding snow in the backcountry. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports on current snow stability and safety for outdoor recreators.
Up high, forecaster Mike Ream says the recent snowfall is breaking records for moisture in the snowpack, including at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort's Rendezvous Bowl.
It was the third highest in 60 years of measuring water there,
which is another factor contributing to an elevated risk of avalanches. In the last few weeks, several slides have been reported in popular backcountry areas. The first regional avalanche fatality happened after a mid-December slide on Teton Pass. On New Year's Day, a snowmobiler died in the Salt River Range in an accident that did not involve a slide. Avalanche Center Director Frank Karras says recent weather has upped the risk of recreating in the backcountry.
It's really imperative for people to keep up to date with what's happening in the snowpack, read and understand the forecast.
The center will host 3 days of avalanche education events in Jackson and Victor beginning January 7th. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
Across the seven states that rely upon Colorado River water, people are being asked to conserve. But a new study finds some of the biggest users don't have a key incentive to do that. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Researchers from the Natural Resources Defense Council and UCLA focused on large irrigation districts in the river's lower basin, which includes water-hungry California, Arizona, and Nevada. They found some large farms paid just pennies per acre foot, or nothing at all, for river water. Cities and households, meanwhile, often pay far more. Co-author Isabel Friedman says the system has many users who have no financial incentive to conserve water.
We really cannot address the growing water scarcity issue in the West while we continue to give water away for free. That is a losing solution every day.
Friedman urges Congress and federal water managers to update pricing so that funds can fix aging infrastructure, encourage conservation, and prevent bigger costs down the line. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
A coalition of state attorneys general have won their legal battle, accusing Mercedes-Benz of deceptive emissions practices that contributed to more pollution. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has more.
Mercedes-Benz USA and Daimler AG will pay a settlement of nearly $150 million. Top attorneys in seven Mountain West states joined the suit that claimed the automaker violated state deceptive practices laws from 2008 to 2016. At issue were over 200,000 diesel passenger cars and vans equipped with software that legal documents said circumvented standards during emissions testing, allowing them to pump more health-harming pollutants into the air. The lawsuit also says Mercedes marketed the vehicles to consumers as environmentally friendly. The multi-million dollar settlement will go to states that filed the suit, including Colorado, Idaho, Montana, New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, and Wyoming. Mercedes-Benz must also replace software in these cars and pay $2,000 to affected consumers. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Six Douglas High School swimmers are jumping into the pool with a built-in cheerleader. The Douglas Budget reports the team has three sets of sisters on it: Riley and Danielle Cook, Abby and Addie Dykes, and Kenley and Wesley Wood. All of the duos have been swimming together since they were young. About half a dozen Powell residents have a new appreciation for how the city operates. The Powell Tribune reports the city wrapped up its second Citizen Academy. The multi-week program gives people an inside look at things like the police station and the garbage transfer station. Many came away impressed with the operations and the people who staff them. Home on the Range Animal Haven, outside of Laramie, just got an upgrade. County 5 reports a grant allowed them to expand their grazing pasture for their five donkeys, four ponies, and three horses. The nonprofit is Albany County's sole large animal sanctuary. Lou Talbert Ranch Outfitters in Casper has been named one of America's top 50 clothing stores by the New York Times. The four-floor Western Wear store has been in the city's downtown for decades. It was the only business in Wyoming to make the list. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What criminal gang famously hid out at the hole in the wall in the Bighorns? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the correct answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what makes Albany County's Big Hollow unique? Unlike most so-called hollows, the Big Hollow was not created by water. It was instead created by Ice Age winds. Those winds displaced more than 10 billion tons of soil, resulting in a depression that is 9 miles long, 4 miles wide, and almost 200 feet deep in spots. It is the second largest wind-blown hollow in the world. And it's also worth noting that the displaced sand and soil blew over the Laramie Range and was instrumental in carving the granite at Vitavu. Strong winds in Wyoming. Who'd have thunk it? Congratulations to Annika Gemeinhardt, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.